Hey Heather, hey, how's your day so far? We are live again on another episode here with Real Talk with Heather and Andres. How's the day so far?
Hey Andres, pretty good. We had our accountability call this morning and now we're jumping into our live podcast. So I'd say it's a pretty good day so far.
It's been fun, huh? Trying to set all these up, trying to put all these together, the content, the work that goes behind the scene just to make this happen. It's been something else. So I'm really happy we're doing this. And again, excited of what's ahead and how we're able to connect with more people.
Definitely. It's been interesting, but I'm super excited, happy to be here and ready to share everything that we've learned with everybody else.
Awesome. Awesome. What are some of the things that we're going to be talking about today?
So today we're going to dive into the top five reasons why realtors fail and how to fix that. And I know fail is such a harsh word, but it's true. It's about 75% of agents quit their first year because it's just a difficult trade to be in. So let's dive into those reasons and see what it helps me.
Absolutely. And I could certainly see how that could happen. I have some personal touches to some of the key points that we're going to talk about today, because as a newer agent, I got to go through that and understand exactly what that is. So going into number one, treating it like a hobby. What does that mean exactly, treating it like a hobby?
So I think a common misconception is that when you're a real estate agent, you can make your own hours and you can work whenever you want to work. And unfortunately, unless you're going to actually treat it like a business, it's easy to kind of say, oh, I'll get to that later, or I'll do that tomorrow, or, let me do this first. I think that's where a lot of people run into trouble, is holding themselves accountable to actually being on a specific, schedule.
Absolutely. I definitely see that happening. I went through some of that myself when I went and got into this business. Just thinking that it's going to happen, that business is going to come to you. And one key thing is treating it like a hobby. We come in here, we don't treat it like it is our own business, right? And we feel like whatever time we can get to it, we get to it. But rather than treating it like a job, in an essence of before coming into this business, you were working 8 hours, 9 hours for a particular company. You know exactly what to do. You have your time frame to do so. Why not apply some of that into your own business, right? Coming into the industry. But like you said, we treat it more like a hobby and just put scattered time into place, right?
No, I think that's, I know, especially when I started with Keller Williams and they were big on, time blocking and, putting it in your calendar. And while I know it's probably something annoying to hear, it's true. Like for me, if it's not in my calendar, it does not exist. I have to make sure I put things in my calendar. I have to check my calendar daily. And I think if you get out of the habit of doing that, then that's when things kind of start to creep up on you and you're like, oh shit, I was supposed to do this today. Or, it's like, how are you going to keep track of everything if you're not actually keeping track of everything?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Just this morning, as we were getting ready for this, we were talking about that. Like, we have a meeting accountability call this morning, then we jump into another meetings. And a lot of times we are like, we're putting this together and finding the time to get here, right? So having the calendar structure, sticking to it, accountability plays a huge role in how successful you're going to be, right?
It really does. And I was just complaining to you too. I was like, I just feel like there's not enough hours in the day. There's not enough time to do, everything. And you have to, it's hard, especially if, you're a single parent and you're a real estate agent, or even if you're, two parent household, if you have kids, it's still hard to manage, everything. It's hard to treat all of your clients like their priority, treat all of your kids like they're the priority, and then obviously have time, for your spouse, make time for yourself. It's a lot. And, it's hard to find that balance.
It does. I know Coach Ross is big on calendar, having dedicated time for prospecting, for meeting new clients, having a time block. So he has a whole training on the calendar that ever since I saw that training, started implementing that in my business, and magical things started to happen. And another book that we recently read was The Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes. Has a whole chapter, and it's the first chapter of the book dedicated to calendar structure, right? So definitely recommend that book. Get some familiarity with and systems in place to set up your calendar and the importance of having that. I'm not going to quote the whole book. There's a lot that goes into it, but definitely recommend looking into that, and will help tremendously.
I would definitely say to people who aren't using a calendar, they're not accustomed to doing that, there's so many options out there. Like, you know, there's Google Calendar. There's, you know, your iPhone has a calendar. If you have an Android, your Android has, you know, a calendar. There are little reminders in your phone. If you're using a CRM, I would say use that as your main calendar, because that has all your appointments in it. If you're working off a CRM, you're booking appointments. Just try to keep all of your stuff in one place, because if you're checking multiple different calendars, then things can get, you know, overlapped and confusing. I would suggest just sticking to one calendar, keeping it all in one place. And like you said, just time blocking, you know, allow yourself that space to do whatever you need to do in those specific blocks. But even then, you're still going to be, at least if you're me, you're still going to be overwhelmed, because you're still going to have so much stuff to do.
That comes with time, right? Like you said, on the slide here, mindset check, discipline equals freedom, right? If you don't have the discipline to set up the systems in place, especially with your calendar, then what you think is freedom is actually holding you back from scaling and growing your business to where you will eventually have the freedom that you're looking to achieve.
And I think over yourself too, I think, you know, some people are afraid to say no. Like, they don't want to tell somebody no. Somebody asks them, hey, let's do this, or can you do that? You know, they'll look at the calendar, they'll see their calendar's full, but, you know, they don't want to be that person that's like, no, I can't do that. But sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have to say, I'm sorry, I can't do it, you know, right now, but I can do it, you know, later, or I can do it tomorrow, or I can do it then. It's okay to say no. If your calendar says you're booked, you're booked.
That is it. Just stick into it. A lot of times we try to accommodate others, and not realizing the impact that it has on your own business, right? Because you're moving a call around now, you're going out of sync, and therefore not getting the things that you need to get done.
Which kind of leads to our next one, which is inconsistent lead generation. So what are your thoughts on this, and especially with like new agents and lead generation and being consistent with it?
I think it's right on point. From a newer agent, as I came to the industry, I'll be honest with you, like, there's lead generation that struck to me. I was confused as to, okay, what am I going to do? What activities can I do to generate more leads? Do I have to spend money to get more leads? I was under the impression, okay, that my team is going to help me grow it and provide me the business, not realizing that it's all up to me. At the end of the day, it's all up to me. And an inconsistency in this business with lead generation, I think is one of the main reasons why a lot of agents drop. Because you think about it, you don't have any leads, you don't have any income. You're not having conversations, you're not getting introduced to more people that are looking to buy or sell. And at the end of the day, if you're relying on this one income and you're not having those conversations, you're going to push yourself out. And I read something in another book, in fact, Fanatical Prospecting by Jeff Blunt. We read this book on the Mastermind with Coach Ross. And one of the things that he says there, it's, whatever you do today, translate 90 days later. Meaning, if you don't prospect today, if you don't prospect for a week, 90 days later, you're going to feel that. So having a consistency to prospect for new business, and there's a number of ways that you can prospect for free. You don't necessarily need to spend money. One of those things that Coach Ross mentioned to me is, And I laugh when he said this, but it's so true. It's like, you want people to talk, go to the Lowe's store or Home Depot and go to the boxes. Go to the U-Haul, go to the boxes section. The people that are hanging in that area, they're moving. They're looking for boxes to move. So have a conversation. Ask them, are they buying? Are they renting? Ask them. If they're renting, could they potentially move or buy in the next few months, right? So there's ways to generate more business. It's just having the discipline to keep that consistency. And we talked about that this morning and the accountability. Of course, prospecting for a different area, but it's the same aspect. Having the systems in place to consistently reach out for new business.
Not only that, but I think sometimes people get hung up on when they get, like, you know, you've done all this lead gen and then you get a buyer, you get a seller. And so you're fixated, you're focused on your current business and you completely stop the lead generation for new business. And so while, you know, it's great that you have that buyer, that seller, maybe you have like three or four buyers you're juggling and you're like kind of struggling to keep your head above water, taking care of those buyers and all the showings and all of the stuff for them. But what happens when all of those close and now you've done no lead generation and you have nothing in the pipeline for down the road? You always have to constantly be thinking about, you know, further down the road, what's going to happen? What's next after this one closes? What do I have lined up? And so if you're not being consistent with it, I had a coach when I was first with Keller Williams that was always adamant that current business came after new business, that no matter what, you would spend at least an hour every morning doing, you know, doing your lead generation, doing prospecting, because that came first, because you always needed to eat tomorrow. Just because you're eating today doesn't mean you're going to eat tomorrow. I always liked that. I always thought that was a good reminder to always be thinking about, you know, the future and staying consistent with it. And, you know, like, there are tons of ways that you can lead gen without having to spend money. It's just whatever, you know, you like. Some people, like, for example, I hate door knocking, but other people love door knocking and they get a lot of business from door knocking. Now, I do it if I have an open house or I have something like that. I don't like to do it, but I will do it. So it's all about, you know, doing what you got to do to drum up, you know, that business, to stick with something that works for you and just keep at it and keep doing it.
I was going to say, add to that is burnout from cold calling, right? People get discouraged right away when someone just hang up the phone and they not interested, I don't want to hear about it. The faster you get a no, the faster you can move to the next person on your list, right? So you just got to keep going at it. Be consistent, keep pushing. One of the things we talked about this morning is having a list of 100 people, right, that you want to reach out to and call. Go through that list. If you have a conversation, make some notes. If you didn't get a conversation, put another task, follow up. So it's building that consistency, establishing your systems to be able to identify, okay, how many conversations do I need to have for my next prospect, for my next buyer agreement to be signed? How many conversations do I need to have for my next listing agreements? But if you don't make the phone calls and you don't determine the number of calls that you have to make to get that done, then you're going to be in a tough spot, because you're going to call five people, get discouraged, and nothing's going to happen, right?
That's true. You know, one thing about that with cold calling, and I think I've shared this with you before and probably in some of the trainings we've been on, is that people are, and I understand, you know, they're scared of the phones, they're scared to make the call, they don't want to get yelled at, they don't want to get hung up on. But in reality, if you think about it like this, if that person isn't going to use you as their agent, or no matter what your business is, no matter if you're cold calling for some other type of business, if that person isn't going to use you or use your business, the odds of you seeing that person are slim to none in real life. And the odds of actually knowing that's the person that you were talking to are slim to none. Because, like, let's say I cold call you, Andres, we've never met before, I cold call you, you answer the phone, you scream at me, you yell at me, or vice versa, I scream at you, I yell at you, and I'm like, why would you call me? I don't want to talk to you. And then we both hang up the phone, and then we're both hungry for pizza, so we both go to the pizza place, and I'm behind you in line at the pizza place. Are you going to know it's me, and am I going to know it was you on the phone? No? Never going to know that. So, like, if that can help somebody kind of take a little bit of that fear, just think, you're never going to see this person in real life. if they're not going to use you. And if they are going to use you, then it's a good thing you call them.
Absolutely. And I've been on the back end of both of those in that aspect. From mindset of following up, just like you and I met, just kept following up with you. And here we are today, a year later, right? And I've been on the back end of some part of my language, some rude ass people that you won't believe the type of things that they said to me on the phone. Then I hang up the phone and the next call is the best call I had in the day. So it could go from the worst call to the best call to a client right there on the spot. So it's just a matter of letting that go, picking up the phone again and making the next call, because we got to stay consistent, right?
Yep.
And I was going to say one way that you can start generating more and more conversations is look at the events in your area, in your neighborhood. There's tons of networking events for real estate and the community overall. These are places that you can go in and just have conversation and casual conversations, get introduced to more people for free. No money spent, just simply having a conversation and eventually identifying, okay, you know, what are you doing for real estate? How are you handling your real estate investment? There's a tons of scripts out there that could help you facilitate those conversations. But you don't have to spend any money in.
And money into our next reason that realtors, 75% of realtors quit the first year, and that's running out of money. Running out of money. You know, there's the joke that nobody buys things as quickly as real estate agents do. Like, I swear sometimes real estate agents would buy a wet book of matches and they'd buy two just to be safe. So when it comes to the, you know, overspending or the overbuying of gadgets and, like, you know, gizmos of things to market with or to lead gen, what are your thoughts on that and how agents can kind of make every dollar count?
Say that again.
So when it comes to budgeting, if you're an agent, you're starting out, you know, what are your thoughts on how they can make every dollar count as far as, you know, spend, what should they be spending on and what should they not be spending on?
First, I would say the first advice as an agent coming in, if you're still working full time, look at what you're doing and who you're going in with, right? The reason I say that is calculate your expenses of what you have to put in for your brokerage. You know, what you have to put up front for your brokerage on a monthly basis, what activities are you going to be involved without spending money to help you generate more business and more business. Exhaust those areas first, continue to play around with those without committing any money. And then as you start building that or want to venture into other areas, know exactly how much money you have allocated for that and stick to it. It is easily to say, let me put this amount of money out there for this. Let me put this amount of money to that without seeing any results, right? Because a lot of times, and my experience working with some agencies, they start putting certain money allocated for social media, right, for marketing. If you have the expectation that you want to go into and get results within the first or 2 months, that's not necessarily going to happen. As we talk about, it may take 90 days for you to see some returns on your business. So if you have $500 and you want to allocate it towards two venues expecting a return on your investment within the next 90 days, that may not necessarily happen. It may take longer than that. So plan out for the long term, 12 months in advance, allocate a marketing budget for the whole month, for the year, so that you have that cushion to allow yourself to build more business and have a consistency there, and not put $300 or $500 in and start expecting a return on your investment right away. And real estate doesn't happen that. You know, it's we wish it was like that, where you put some money in, you get it right back. I think we'll have way too many agents on the market, right?
That's, you know, and that's the thing about real estate too, is, you know, if you're going to be a full-time agent, and it's hard to be a successful agent and not be a full-time agent, but if you're going to be a full-time agent, you should probably have about 6 months I would say minimum reserve built up before you'd make the switch from whatever employment you had before to being an agent. And then there's a lot of little costs that you don't think of when you become an agent. I know I didn't take into account that, and you know, some of them are small, some of them are big, but you know, every month I have to pay for my Supra box, the little key that we use to open the door. That's $15 a month. And then, you know, you have your realtor dues that are due. That's like $400 to $500 a year. Office fees sometimes, and that can be depending on your brokerage, you know, anywhere from like what, 20 to like over $100, depending on what brokerage you have. So there's a bunch of little fees that, you know, that add up. And then if, you know, you have a transaction coordinator, I have a transaction coordinator for my transactions. Well, I did when I was in production. So all these, you know, it's split like $375, I think, a transaction on the buy side for my transaction coordinator. So you have all these little fees that, you know, add up. You kind of have to take those into account when you're thinking about all the money you're going to be spending before you go spend extra on a bunch of different, you know, different things. So I think it really comes down to budgeting and knowing what you have to spend and then allocating money towards that. So just like your time, you have to have your time blocked off. I have a spreadsheet where I have all of my expenses. Even, for example, that's the podcast that we're doing. I just shared that with you. You know, we went through and we blocked out all of the programs that we're paying for the podcast, how much it is, when they're due, so that we know where all the dollars are going. You know, and you have to do that. Otherwise, you're going to get overwhelmed because you're just going to get nickel and dimed to death.
Yeah, you have to treat it like a business. No, you need to know your numbers, how much money you have going out. Like I said, if you're looking at a brokerage, all the expenses that goes to it. That was a mistake I made, right? I think I'm going to be able to get this done. Here you go, $2,000 up front, $3,000 up front. And then a few months later, I realized, man, I could have used that money on a completely different way to help me generate more business instead, rather than paying a flat fee for this. Was that really necessary? No, absolutely not. But me not doing my due diligence in determining, okay, budgeting for the next 6 months to a year to ensure that I have all the tools necessary to get my business going while saving money and be able to, you know, be successful over the first year. It is easily the shiny object, right, syndrome, right? We see something, oh, we think it's going to help us. Do you even know how to use it effectively? So we can easily get into this app, this platform, this and that, rather than going back to the basics, making phone calls, having conversations, finding resources that are free to be able to generate more business, and staying within budget. Because like you said, if you are dependent on making money from here to survive and you don't have the right tools, the right systems in place, you're going to drop out easily within the first 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then there's good problems to have, but there's still problems because Tony's got a bunch of listings coming up off of his investments. And so now we don't have enough signs. So he needs to buy more signs. And then not only does he need more yard signs, he needs more open house signs because we can't have, you know, if we're having two different open houses in the same weekend, we have to have more than one set of open house signs. And then he doesn't have enough super boxes for all the houses now too. So it's like all those expenses are, you know, I mean, obviously, hopefully the listings sell and we'll get, you know, the cost recouped, but we have pictures, you know, you're looking at pictures for each one of the listings, a sign for each one of the listings, open houses for each one of the listings, and then the super boxes for each one of the listings. So you're already talking, you know, dollars on dollars on dollars. We haven't even sold anything yet. So
that's a good problem to have until you have it in front of you, right? But that's good though. That's how it should be. You want to start making those activities to help you get there. And then you figure it out as you go along, be resourceful, figure it out how to solve those problems as they come along. But if you can't get there and you don't have enough business to get there, then you have a completely different problem where now you are having to step away off the business rather than diving deeper and expanding and scaling your business.
And I would say when you do have the closings and, you know, you would have to do it like, you know, Tony did, is take the money and put it back into the business. So because he's done that, he has the money to then go and buy the things that he needs for the new listings. Because what you don't want to do is be in the position where you get the listings and you don't have, you know, the money or the means to have the sign, to have the, you know, open house. You want to make sure that when you get, you know, your first closing or whatever, take some of the money. And obviously, you know, you've made this money and you want to spend some of it, but obviously put it back and invest it in yourself, invest it in the business, make sure that you're running it like a business. We can't hear you. I can't hear what you're saying.
Something that Coach Ross mentioned several times is, if you come to a situation where you need the money and you don't have it ready to go, it's already too late, right? So being proactive, getting the systems done in your business to ensure that you can scale, but staying on the budget. You know, budgeting is very important in this business. And as a newer agent, look into that before you dive in into the business, right? Making sure that you have, you do your due diligence, identify the brokers that best fits your need. EXP offers a lot of training. Your budget, something that aligns with your budget and what you're trying to achieve, the resources that are available to you, a free business, I mean, in free leads. If it's a team that's providing you leads, ways to generate more leads for free without diving into the marketing expenses and things like that. So do your due diligence before you dive into the business, and find a team that can help you put all the systems in place. Because it's not easy coming in alone and not having a support on the back end to be able to support you for the first year until you start having that consistency in place.
Definitely. And let's do the fourth, poor follow-up. So the mistake is that leads go cold and that clients feel forgotten about. And I'm sure, I don't know, I feel like if they say this isn't them, they're lying. I think all real estate agents have had a family member, a friend, a neighbor, somebody use a different agent. And then you're like, what the hell? I was right here. Why didn't you use me? And they're like, oh, well, I forgot you were an agent, or you just seem so busy all the time, or we hadn't talked in a while, so I just went with my, you know, uncle's cousin's next door neighbor's dog's brother. And you're like,
ugh. Yes, it happens quite often. Follow-up is one of the biggest things out there, right? Because you're reaching to someone for new business, and they clearly tell you, hey, I'm not ready today. I might be in 3 months from now. We are in the mentality a lot of times that we want a business today. I want to start working with somebody today, especially if you haven't budgeted well. Going back to the previous 3 points, right? If you haven't budgeted well and now you're desperate to try to get a transaction, if somebody tells you they're not going to be ready today, but ready in 2-3 months, right away that goes into the back burner. And there's no follow-up. There's no consistency to check in, to provide value on every touch point that you have with that contact. So now you can easily lose a client that somebody else is bringing that value to them, is following up. And I've talked to a number of agents that we have put leads through my other business with Club. We have put leads in front of agents that raise their hand, they're looking to buy. They're ready to go ASAP, want to get connected with the right lenders, want to start looking at properties. And sure enough, there's no follow-up after that first introduction. Checked in a couple of weeks later, that person is already working with somebody else. That person has already purchased a property. So I see it on a daily basis what this is happening. Not having a strong follow-up on your business, you're giving business away.
Yeah. I know a lot of agents have a CRM and don't use it, or they don't have a CRM, don't have any interest in having a CRM. And it's really unfortunate because there is so many automations that you can have with your CRM that make it so leads don't fall through the cracks, or at least fall through the cracks a lot less. when you have automations you can put in place with text messaging and emails. And let's be honest, I know everybody is really big on sending out emails, but that can really only be one touch point in your whole scheme of, you know, follow-up. Because if you're just relying on emails, if you're just sending out emails and you're just relying on emails, people really need to be honest and think about how many emails do you have in your inbox right now that you're never going to read? I know everybody's got an inbox full of emails they're never going to look at. And if that's your, you know, Hail Mary only hope of getting, you know, leads, it's really not a great system. You have to have other touch points. You've got to be calling, you've got to be texting, you've got to be emailing, you've got to be posting on social media. You have to, like I say, you have to stalk your leads, really, or they're going to forget about you, and you do.
And along with that, using the CRM, putting out the notes, like we were talking about this morning, you make a phone call, review the notes before you make the phone call. If I check, if I talked to you 3 weeks ago, 2 months ago, you were going on vacation with the family, I get on the phone with you, I'm going to ask you, hey, how was your vacation to so-and-so? You know, having those notes. If you're calling hundreds of people every day, it's hard to remember everything. Shit, I don't remember the password I just put 5 minutes ago. That happens to me every day. So imagine putting the notes, remembering everything that you're talking to all these leads, all these clients, right? So using the CRM, put in the notes, call them, put the notes as you're talking to them. It just allows you to be more consistent and show that you are listening, that you care for your clients. You're not just calling people or having clients and helping them in a transaction. You're building a relationship, a lifelong relationship. This business is about relationship, and having a CRM that allows you to keep track of all your clients and the notes and the system, having the system in place to facilitate your business, right? I think it's a great tool that is unused by many clients. I've talked to a number of clients and agents that been in the business for over 5 years and they don't have a CRM and they work out of a spreadsheet. I think that's a challenge, honestly.
I think if you're working off of a spreadsheet and you're like committed to doing that, then you would love a CRM because it would be easier for you to use. If you're that dedicated that you're using a spreadsheet, then I think a CRM would just be like Christmas morning to you because it'd be so much easier to manage than, you know, than just a spreadsheet with all of the stuff that it's capable of doing. And to kind of piggyback off what you were saying about, you know, building that relationship, people can tell when you care and when you don't care. And this doesn't even have to just be, you know, solely for real estate agents. This could be for any business in general. If you're in a customer service business, if you're in a sales business, and you're calling people or you're trying to build that rapport with somebody, I can tell when somebody actually cares and when they're just like, for lack of a better like expression, like a sleazy salesman, you know, like if you're just trying to get the sale, if you don't really care, that shows. So if you're wanting to build lifelong relationships with people to where you have that referral business coming back to you, it's very simple. Care about people and treat people the way you would want to be treated. And you will build those relationships where people will call you. And it, you know, we have people calling us all the time, not just about real estate, but they call us because they know we know so many people. I have other real estate agents that call and say, hey, a tree fell down in my yard. Do you have a tree guy? Yeah, we have a tree guy. Or, hey, you know, we need like the pumps done at our house. Do you have a septic guy? Yeah, we have a septic guy, because we've created those relationships with people. And that's what you have to do as an agent or just as a person, as a human being dealing with other human beings in life, is just care about people.
Absolutely. And establishing the systems in your CRM where you can personalize everything allows you to give it that extra touch with all your clients in place. And one thing I wanted to say that is having, this is a quote, I forgot who I got it from, but there's not such a thing as a missed opportunity. It just went to somebody else. You know, if you don't follow up, that opportunity went to somebody else. Simple as that.
Yep. I don't know where I'm going. I know Sean is trading materials.
Yeah, I forgot what book we got it from, but it's we've mentioned it several times because that's the reality of it, right? somebody doesn't do business with us, we just missed it. You know, there's people moving every day. There's people having conversation, looking to buy or sell every day. We just didn't come across that opportunity. Coach Russ says that all the time. You just have, there's people moving in your database every year. If you don't follow up and you don't reach out to intervene in that process and say, hey, remember, I'm a realtor, just like you said earlier, then that opportunity went to somebody else who came across them.
And there is, like, you know, you said people are moving every day. There's it amazes me too, because a lot of brokerages seem very like cutthroat, and they don't want to share information. They don't want to help each other. You shouldn't feel threatened by another agent in the business that they have, because there's so many opportunities out there. You just have to go find your own opportunities. And I really do believe that the way you treat people comes back to you. So if you're helping another agent out and they get a deal off of you helping them, that's good for them. You don't have to look at it as like, you know, oh, I lost an opportunity because I helped this other agent. No, you didn't. You helped that other agent with their business, and your business is going to be blessed because of it. So, like, if, again, just everybody needs to treat people how they want to be treated, and it'll come back to them in the end.
Absolutely. And that's how I've always lived my life. You know, treat people how I want to be treated. That's how I approach everything of my business and life. And some people, a lot of times I fear that question, why didn't you take care of this? Why didn't you take care of that? I'd rather pass that opportunity. I like helping people. That's me personally. My biggest goal is to be able to put people in a position to succeed. So if I have an opportunity to do that and put another agent, a client in better hands, I'm making that happen.
I think that's how a much better place if everybody thought that way. Everybody doesn't, but if they did, I think we would all be happier in the long run, maybe. But that's probably an unrealistic expectation, just like number five.
That is it. And I think I'm one of those. I'm going to say I'm one of those that jumping into this business, I thought it was greener on the other side, right? You ever heard that saying?
Yes.
It's greener on the other side until you get to the other side, and then you're like, oh, what the hell did I get myself into? And it was exactly that. I got 5 months into it, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, man, I don't have nothing. 12 months into it, and I'm like, what am I doing here? And you start wondering, you start questioning yourself most of all, like, did you make the right decision getting into this business? And that's the biggest thing. You get inside your head and you start making mistakes. You start wondering, you start questioning your decision. You start questioning the system around you, the team around you, the team that is supporting you. Because a lot of times we relate our success with the physical things that are in front of us. You know, it took me a few months to realize that what I was going after was not physically success. For me, it wasn't a transaction, right? But I have very unrealistic expectations going into the business as to, oh, I'm going to get 12 deals. I'm going to get 20 deals done the first year. I knew nothing about what I was doing. So, yeah, I can vouch for that. That happens way more often than what we think about, and we don't recognize it. Going back to the few steps that we went back, you know, budgeting. You know, I came into this business and I didn't know, okay, how much money I needed to put up front, how much money I need to be spending on a monthly basis, my dues, HOA, HAR, this and that. I had no idea, you know, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that had that going into this business. And the year goes by and you don't close a deal. You're putting money up there. Now you are going back to, okay, let me get a part-time job to compensate for some of that money lost, right? Next thing you know, you're completely out of the business because you got comfortable making money consistently again on the part-time job and resulted back into a full-time job. And it all ties up to not having realistic expectations and doing your due diligence on what it would take to be successful in this business, what it's going to take to get you over the first 2 years in this business, and going in with the right team that is going to help you get there. Because a lot of times you're not going to be able to get it done alone. Unless you have that drive and you are resourceful and you go after it, you need someone around you to help you and stay true to yourself and get systems in place.
I think you're right. I think that a lot of people have the misconception, especially people who aren't real estate agents, and then they buy a house or they sell a house with a real estate agent and they're like, oh, I can do that. I want to do that. They don't understand the work that goes into it. They don't understand the money that goes into it. I think the one major misconception is, oh, real estate agents really don't do anything. They open up a house, they open up a door, show you a house, and then they come to the closing. And nobody sees all of the in-between stuff that happens from, you know, getting the BBA or getting the listing agreement to getting you to the closing table and everything that you know, details. And this could be for, you know, any job that you're, you know, working with sales, customer service. If you're going to have to do something like a job like this, you have to learn everything you can learn. I think that's probably the major thing that agents kind of go away from, is they don't want to take the time to learn all of the rules, all of the regulations, everything they need to know. They just want to, you know, show houses and then they want to go to the closing. But there's so much you have to know. You need to, if you're going to be an agent, you need to understand loans. You have to understand the loans. You have to understand the difference between all the loans. You have to understand a little bit about construction, because you need to know when you're going through and showing these homes, you need to be looking and pointing things out to these buyers. You're not just trying to shove somebody in a home. You want to make sure that they're getting the correct home for them. And if you see something like, you know, you see water spots on the ceiling or you see foundation issues, you want to point that out to your clients and make sure that, you know, you're getting them to a home that's going to be good for them, not a home that's going to have issues and complications the second, you know, they shut the door for the first time. Because who are they going to blame when that house isn't working out the way they want it to? Who are they going to blame? They're going to blame their agent.
That's it. Their agent got them into that property. And like you're saying, it's though going back to the relationships, putting that team, those resources available to put the agents in the best position to succeed, and learning the skills to identify those areas and putting their clients in the best position possible. So I think that's a very important aspect of the business that we don't have clear expectations on. Another part of that is, like you said here, learning the skills, not only on putting that team together, but handling the transactions, having the conversations. You know, I came in and I can share this from my end and my perspective. When I mentioned earlier, 6 months in, I understood that what's important was not having a transaction, but rather developing myself in many areas. You know, applying myself to the team and learning from my mentors and the people around me, and that when my real estate business starts picking up, I have all the necessary skills and tools in front of me to be able to handle what's in front of me, rather than looking at having a transaction and not knowing what to do and focus on volume and revenue rather than growing and developing myself, and more so helping the people around me develop as well.
Yeah. It looks like we are about out of time, Andres. This has been I feel like this has been really good. We got into the top five reasons that 75% of real estate agents don't make it past their first year. And again, guys, this is live. We're going to post this onto the podcast, so it'll go out to all different channels that everybody wants to listen on. But this is live. This is unfiltered and unedited. So any mistakes that you hear, that is why. It's because this was not a pre-recorded and edited show. But again, this is just us talking real. You guys, make sure you tune in twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11:30 Eastern time. If any questions you guys have, you can always message me and Andres, or any topics you guys want talked about.
Absolutely. This has been fun. I did not notice the time went by that quick. So, man, excited to continue to be part of this, continue to put this out here for people. Again, lies. So whatever you see from me, whatever you see from Heather, this is it. This is us, 100% every day. Grateful for you guys to join us and continue to plug in. Next Tuesday, we're going to have a loan officer talking with us. We're going to post more information on that. And then we're going to try to have a guest at least once a week. So looking forward to continue to bring content and continue to connect with you, with everyone. So thanks.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
Right.